from St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Bill Eigel made a lot of waves in Jefferson City with his combative personality and his propensity to clash against his fellow Senate Republicans. Now Eigel is trying to bring his anti-establishment spirit to St. Charles County government. But he's facing fierce competition in the GOP primary for St. Charles County executive. Eigel joins us on the latest episode of Politically Speaking to talk about the campaign. So let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
Let's go back to some of those policies, to that peace and prosperity that we had some 4 to 5 years ago.
Everywhere is Democrat country once this Democrat's been there.
There are a lot of things in Washington that are very bipartisan, including some bills that I've already gotten passed.
And I think it works best when you can see both sides, but you have to pick one, and I firmly align with the Republicans.
But certainly, I think if she's running against one of the crazy dudes, certainly it's going to be a lot easier.
But I'll take wisdom and age and a few missteps in oratory over somebody who has no substance.
I believe that you represent the party's values and you move forward, and that's what I have done.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, St. Louis Public Radio politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Joining us for the 900th time on Politically Speaking, he is a former Missouri State Senator and one of three major candidates running for St. Charles County Executive. Our guest today is
former State Senator Bill Eigel.
Thank you for coming back. For people who don't know you, who are you? How did you get involved in Missouri politics? And what sort of psychosis prompted you to get involved in St. Charles County government?
Yes, I tell you, it's been a long journey for me, and I got into politics. First of all, my background is I'm an Air Force veteran. I'm a small business owner. I've raised a family in St. Charles County. My wife actually grew up in St. Charles County. Her home had to be demolished for the Page Extension going through when she was a kid. My dad grew up in St. Louis City, but he moved around for the Air Force. I was born on an Air Force base, but we moved back to St. Charles County back in 2006. I've lived my whole adult life outside of military service in St. Charles County, and got into politics in the 2015-2016 cycle, mainly because I was a small business owner at the time and my health insurance premiums were going through the roof. And I'll never forget going down to the mailbox and seeing that in order to comply with Obamacare restrictions and requirements, my health insurance premiums were going to double. And like a lot of people who get into politics, I saw this as something wrong in our political system and decided to get involved. That led to me ultimately running for the Missouri State Senate, where I was successful and served for 8 years in the Missouri State Senate. We know the story, where the story goes from there. Of course, I ran for governor and was very proud of that campaign. Came up a little bit short a couple of years
ago. How many percentage points did you lose by? Like five?
Five or six.
Five or six. And you were expected to come in third and you came in second.
Yep.
Which is probably not much of a consolation prize, but you know, you did better than a lot of people thought.
Well, I tell you, my blood pressure is a lot better today than it was during that campaign. And that was a great campaign. I'm so appreciative of all the support that I got. I think our message, it was decisively better than anybody else in that campaign. And you know, it allowed me, when coming out of that campaign, there was a time where I didn't know if I wanted anything to do with politics after that. And so we realized shortly, though, that St. Charles County is a place, like I said, where we raised a family, where we ran a business, and they had a position that was coming open. And that's the opportunity to lead the third largest county in the state. And I realized a lot of the things I was talking about when I ran for governor, we could do at the local level for a large county like St. Charles. So here we are, 45 days or so from the next decision, and I think this will be one of the most important decisions St. Charles has made and will make for a long time.
A lot of people like start at the county level and then go to the state level. Mm-hmm. There are some people that go backwards. I think like, I don't know, 3/5 of the elected officials in St. Louis County are former General Assembly members. But what prompted you to want to go to the county level?
Well, first of all, it's I don't know that I would describe it as a going backwards. You're saying going to a lower level of government is, I think, what you meant to say.
Well, I mean, because... to be fair, like you're trying to be the county executive, mm-hmm. and it's not like you're running for county council or anything. For instance, Ken Waller was Jefferson County executive, and he had a desire to go to the Missouri House for some reason, even though it was like a $40,000 pay cut.
If you think about the position of county executive, the county executive in St. Charles represents 430,000 people. I represented in the state senate about 170,000.
Yeah.
So it's more people. And actually, the biggest change is that we're going from a legislative position in the state senate to an executive position in charge of one of Missouri's largest counties. And there's a big difference in a legislative versus an executive position. A lot of these contours were present, of course, in the governor's race. I think the county executive, which sets the tone and writes the budget for St. Charles County, which is very large, more than $600 million now, has an opportunity to really do some things at that county level and lead along with the county council in ways and on policies that we haven't seen elsewhere in the state. So there's a unique opportunity in this big red county of St. Charles to do a lot of things I was talking about as governor, and I'm excited to get rolling.
There are two other major candidates in the race, Jason Law, who is a former mayor of Lake St. Louis, and Steve Ellman, who initially said he wasn't going to run for re-election and then changed his mind and is now back in the contest. Why do you think that you would be a better county executive than those two?
Well, because unlike either of those two, I'm actually proposing specific ideas about what we could do on policy that are going to stave off some of the stagnation that we've seen in St. Charles County recently and set St. Charles County up as a leader across the state of Missouri and in the St. Louis region for years, maybe decades to come. My biggest criticism of Steve Ellman is that when we are seeing problems start to build up in St. Charles County, the property taxes are too high, the plan for growth and apartments are going up on every street corner. This conversation about data centers. Steve really has no particular idea of what he wants to do, how to address these issues, or what role the highest position in county government can play. And I think there's a point at which you've been in government so long, you go from trying to make the system better to just protecting the system. And I think that's where Steve's at right now. In fact, I've heard in recent interviews that when asked why he's running, his answer to why he's running for re-election doesn't have anything to do with fixing the property tax burden. It doesn't have anything to do with addressing all the apartments that are going up or where St. Charles is going to go. It has to do with a personal dislike of one of the other candidates. And
you.
I think that's extraordinary.
It's you.
That's extraordinary.
He basically said he got into the race because he thought he was the only person that could beat you. And he basically thinks that you're going to do irresponsible things with county government, which we'll get into.
What a terrible answer that would be. I mean, I can't imagine insulting the people of St. Charles County by saying that the only reason you're seeking the responsibility of the highest office in the county is because you don't like somebody else. I mean, that is I have nothing personally against Steve. He's been around a long time. Certainly we disagree on policy and process, but I don't have no personal dislike of Steve Ellman. My goodness, I'm doing this because I want St. Charles County to be strong. I think we can do some really neat things that are going to make us a leader in this state. But the idea that someone would be willing to subject their family and the county to a race that involves spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and everything that goes along with these political campaigns out of a negative emotion towards one of their neighbors. I just think that's extraordinary and really continues to build the case that we really need new leadership in St. Charles.
One of the things that I've noticed is this race is being watched by more than just people in St. Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
I like ripping Band-Aids off of things. There are people who have worked for Governor Kehoe's political campaigns
mm-hmm.
who are working for your opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I have not asked the governor this, but I think they assume that if you win this, you're going to run against Mike Kehoe in 2028. Is that a fair assumption?
I have no plans to run for any office in 2028. I am not thinking about 2028. I learned, as you know, Jason, I learned a couple years ago that a lot of times I'm a big believer that God's got a plan for everything. And very often that plan doesn't go the way that you had envisioned it was supposed to go. And so the best thing to do in politics is to focus on what's in front of you and the task at hand. And right right now, that means talking about the things that are going to make St. Charles County strong. I'm not thinking about any future election. I am 100% focused on St. Charles County.
So you say you have no plans, but are you just saying I will not run for governor in 2028 if you win this office?
I don't know. I'll say it however you want me to say it. I am not thinking about running for any other office. I have no plans to run for any other office. If you want me to sign a piece of paper, then I'm not going to
Well, on the
for
show,
office.
I asked you, okay, during redistricting in 2022, you said, uh-huh. I will never run for Congress.
That's right.
You can put this on tape.
Yes.
And there were rumors that you're going to run against Ann Wagner. And then uh-huh. I saw you and Ann Wagner and we took a photo together.
Yes.
Plans and thinks does not mean I will not.
Well,
sorry if that's semantical, but I feel like you are leaving the door open there.
There are no doors open. My focus is on St. Charles County. And, I will say that it's a lot of folks who probably would not consider themselves my political allies that are talking about what you just described. And in a way, they're kind of complimenting me. They're complimenting me because here we are 2 years after a gubernatorial election, and they still see me as the major threat to the sitting governor. And so I think that's extraordinary. And I would argue that the reason they say that is because they know that the reason I do so well in campaigns and the reason I've been successful in office is because everything I do is based on the policies and ideas that resonate with the people I represent. So they know that compared to a lot of the folks in Jefferson City or a lot of folks that have been in office a long time, like maybe a Steve Ellman, that's going to be very attractive for folks to want to talk about these ideas. So I take it as a compliment from my enemies that they think I'm going to run for something else, but I am focused on St. Charles.
Let's talk about issues. Okay. I want to start on apartments. Mm-hmm. Why is this such a big issue in St. Charles County, given that right now, as we're recording this, mm-hmm. and it's June 22nd, 2026, interest rates are really high. Mm-hmm. People can't buy houses, even if they get a large down payment. Doesn't it make sense for one of the fastest growing areas of the state to have affordable rental properties available for people who want to move there?
Well, first of all, we have built a ton of new apartment complexes since 2010. In fact, we've nearly doubled our stock of multifamily over the past 10 or 15 years. And there's a problem. If you overbuild any particular type of housing unit, you run into several problems. One, the average multifamily unit in St. Charles right now brings in about $1,700 in taxes per unit. Now, if that's a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment and you have just one child in there in that apartment, that we spend about $17,000 per child in our school district. So if you overbuild multifamily and you start creating that deficit, that means that the burden to really subsidize our schools falls more squarely on the people that are living in single family homes. So that makes single family homes less and less affordable as their tax burden goes up. But you know what? You brought up a really good point, which is, well, what about affordability? What, can government make everything more affordable by A, building more apartments? What can government do? My answer to that question has nothing to do with building more apartments. My answer to that question, if we want to make it more affordable to live in St. Charles County, let's get rid of personal property
tax. We'll talk about, don't worry.
So
we're going to talk about that at length.
That's a tease, but just because it is connected, my answer to the affordability question has nothing to do with let's build more low-income housing, let's build more apartments. My answer has something entirely different than that. So, but back to the apartments, if you overbuild these apartments, you're going to run into problems with infrastructure development, with density problems, which could cause general health issues within the county. And we all know that the cities have no concern about density or infrastructure problems outside of their borders. So there's exactly one entity that needs to take a leadership role on these apartments and how many apartments overall the county ought to be building. And that's the county itself, because the county is the only one that has the vision of the entire county. So Steve Ellman has consistently said, well, there's nothing the county can do because that's the cities that does this. The county represents and has approved very, very few. Well, this constant idea that the highest position in government in our county can't do anything and is helpless in the face of a problem that's facing our county is precisely why St. Charles County is starting to stagnate and why we need new leadership. Here's what I would do for the the apartment complexes and how to slow that down in St. Charles County. Step one, we would directly prohibit county apartment complexes in the unincorporated areas of St. Charles County. That's what we can control.
You can directly control
You can directly control that. And actually, because we've been talking about that, I've been talking about that over the 2-3 months, just last week, the county council actually brought such a resolution forward. It is now considering that. So the idea that the county couldn't have been doing this 20 years ago is silly. But that's only step one. Step two. As the cities have been annexing more ground, guess where they've been taking the more ground they annex from? They've been taking it from unincorporated St. Charles County.
Yeah.
So where was the county pushing back on all the annexation of the cities, knowing that the cities were putting in more and more apartment complexes? There's been no leadership and no action taken. The next thing the county could and should do is develop a series of guidelines that spell out density and infrastructure requirements that the cities could follow in order to build less apartment complexes and build in a manner that is more compatible with the overall county plan. And to address Steve Ellman's other point, which is, well, even if we did that, we couldn't force the cities to follow it. You know what we could do? We could then, the last step in my plan is to pass a charter amendment that would prioritize cities who play ball with the county guidelines and requirements on density and infrastructure. Because, Jason, you and I know that the state does this all the time. Mm-hmm. I get aggravated because the federal government does this all the time. There's no better way to get compliance from a jurisdiction within your territory than to prioritize funds for those that play ball.
So does that mean like transportation funds, for
yeah,
instance?
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say to people who say that that's just essentially extortion? You're basically and also you could also make an argument that that is like the hand of big government telling smaller government what to do.
So when I have always defined the proper role of government as intervening when the rights of the citizen are at risk, and all of this overdevelopment and all of these apartments being built that are requiring more infrastructure development, getting ahead of infrastructure development, changing the density patterns and the traffic patterns of our county are happening. It is absolutely right and proper that the county step in and have a role in pushing back and telling the cities no. Is it extortion? No, that is actually how every level of government works in American modern society right now. The state government, of course, can't directly force the local areas to do X or Y, so they incentivize certain behaviors. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about here. And the reason I'm talking about it is because this is probably, I would argue this is the number two issue that are facing St. Charles Countyans right now. And right now, all I'm being told from my opponents is that, well, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, and we don't have any ideas about what we could do that. So I think the reason that we're leading in every poll that's come out right now is because folks aren't looking for they're not looking for leaders who have just been in office a long time and aren't proposing any solutions. They want someone to take charge and provide a vision for where we're going forward.
When I was talking with County Executive Ellman, a year or two ago, mm-hmm. one of his big concerns is the fact that the region's population has been pretty stagnant, and that will ultimately have an impact on St. Charles County being mm-hmm. able to grow. Mm-hmm. Basically being the idea of is, If you have a collection of counties and there's only so many people in those counties and nobody is coming in, eventually you will run out of people moving to places like mm-hmm. like St. Charles County. And you also, I mean, the other side note on that is you have places like Lincoln and to some extent Montgomery County, which are also and Warren County as mm-hmm. well, which are also like developing very quickly. So what would you mentioned stagnation a couple times. What would you want to do to not only prevent St. Charles County from stagnating, but also the region, since you are going to have a seat at the table at East West Gateway
right.
to talk about that?
So this is not to sound like a broken record, Jason, but this is all intertwined. If we want to get St. Charles County growing, imagine the growth that's going to start coming St. Charles County's way if we become the only county in the state that doesn't have personal property tax. And I talk about this issue a lot. You've heard me talk about this issue a lot. But I believe in this issue, and I have talked about this for years, because if St. Charles County is successful getting rid of personal property tax, we just became the most attractive county anywhere in Missouri for businesses, for people, for growth to occur. And as that relates to the region, then my next question would be, let's consider a world where St. Charles County gets rid of personal property tax. There's going to be a lot of pressure on other regional counties to do and follow our lead. And I think that's the role that St. Charles County can play here. Leadership by example. I wouldn't be surprised that once St. Charles County does it, we might see Franklin County or Warren County say, wait a minute. We can't let St. Charles County have that kind of advantage. We're going to start going that same direction. That's going to apply pressure maybe to St. Louis County, maybe to St. Louis City. And when they see that we can grow with these types of policies, I think that can have a huge positive impact on the St. Louis region. The St. Louis region's biggest problem, and you nailed it, is a loss of population. A loss of population leads to I can point to every problem we have in the region as being fundamentally a problem of losing population and the constant drain of people leaving this area for what they perceive to be better areas somewhere else.
Before we get to your personal property tax plan, something I'm asking all the candidates is St. Louis and St. Louis County passed 1 cent sales tax increases to help the St. Louis City Police Department and the St. Louis County Police Department and the various municipal police departments. My understanding is St. Charles County does not have that. It was known as Prop P. Do you think as the population continues to expand, let's just assume it does, that it may be necessary to have a sales tax like that to support the St. Louis County, to support the St. Charles County Police Department and the municipal police departments?
We've got plenty of money in St. Charles County. Every political government jurisdiction has more than enough money than they need. In fact, if you look at just the St. Charles County budget, it has quadrupled since 2009. So the idea that we would need any tax increases at some point before the turn of the century is nonsensical. We need to shrink the tax burden dramatically, cut out personal property tax, and we're still going to have a ton of money left over for all the necessary services that we have right now, and we're going to deliver them as a world-class institution.
We need to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll continue our politically speaking interview with former State Senator Bill Eigel. And we're back on Politically Speaking with Bill Eigel. He is a former Republican state senator and one of three major candidates running for St. Charles County Executive. Okay. How exactly would St. Charles County be able to get rid of personal property tax? Tell me the Bill Eigel plan.
Okay, here's the Bill Eigel plan. So first of all, we need to understand that personal property tax, the county actually collects relatively little personal property tax. Most of the personal property tax and regular property tax goes to schools, goes to fire, goes to libraries, et cetera. But the county does have its own budget, which right now this year was about $606 million. That's actually up from about $150 million that it was back in 2009. The county gets these funds from a variety of sources. They get them from sales taxes, they get them from fees, they get them from a little bit of property tax. But that number has quadrupled. It has been going up outrageously as government has expanded dramatically under Steve Ellman for the past 20 years. So the amount that we collect for personal property tax that goes to those other entities, about $120 million a year. So my contention is that if we can find $120 million of savings in the current $606 million budget that we have at the county, that we can shift that $120 million over to the county collector in the form of an appropriation from the county council and basically pay off people's tax burdens on their behalf. That actually happens already every single day. I know Steve has been out there saying, well, that would be illegal. You can't do that. I don't know what he's talking about, because anyone who has a mortgage right now knows that their mortgage company actually sends a check to the county collector to pay off their bill as a third party. So this happens every single day. And the idea that this couldn't be done or would be illegal to be done is just nuts. The real question is, where do we find $120 million out of the $606 million? Well, the first thing that I would point to is what I would describe as a series of money pits that Steve has slowly been building over 20 years that are costing us a ton of money. I'll give you a couple of examples. The Family Arena. The Family Arena loses millions of dollars in operating losses every year.
Wasn't that a Joe Altworth thing, though?
It was a Joe Altworth thing, but Steve has been expanding it, pouring money into it, and not doing what
not
I'm proposing.
Not selling it.
So here's what I would put. The Family Arena. So let me go back to my point.
Sure.
It's losing millions of dollars in operating losses, plus tens of millions of dollars every year in capital improvements just to keep the doors open. The family arena sits on 55 acres of probably some of the most prime ground anywhere in the county between Page Extension and I-70. It connects to the River Point development that St. Charles City is coming down from the north, and it overlooks the Missouri River riverfront. That is an excellent opportunity for a new vision and an investor to come in. And instead of us losing tens of millions of dollars every year on this, that should be turned into a revenue source for the county that can also actually be used to bring down county burdens or tax burdens even further. That's just one. But now there's also the National Equestrian Center. Now, I know there are a lot. By the way, my daughter used to, when she was in high school, she rode horses. I've been to many events over the National Equestrian Center. We've traveled around the country to other events. And I got to tell you, I'm committed, as much as I am committed to ensuring that the National Equestrian Center is there for generations to come, that is different than believing that government is the best owner of that facility.
You're really like skirting the line between, you don't want to be seen as anti-horse.
No, of course. Well,
you're pro-horse.
If I was anti-horse, my daughter might not vote for me. So that would be a real problem.
Keep going.
So I believe that the best way to ensure that the NEC is there for generations to come is to find an investment group that is not government. Government is not good at operating things that should stay in the private sector. And for the same reason, I don't think that we should own a stadium that houses the St. Louis Rams or the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think that we should own an entertainment facility, be it the Family Arena, be it the National Equestrian Center. That's another one. Tens of millions of dollars, millions in operating losses. And then, there, of course, there's the one that the public is just becoming aware of, and that is the Courthouse Annex Project, which is the county has taken over the St. Charles City Hall, the old City Hall, which is built on a foundation that is sinking into the earth and is going to cost us at a minimum of $30 million over the next 5 years. And we don't even know, because when Steve took that on, they didn't do actually a professional engineering survey to actually determine the extent of the damage in that building. So my proposal is we could save, I believe, $25 to $30 million combined just in those money pits that Steve has gotten us into if we would restore St. Charles County to the proper role of government. That's step one.
Because that's all one-time money. That would last, you got $120 million from all that, that's 1 year.
No. The ongoing capital costs associated with the Family Arena, because that building is so old, is more than $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And that building is just going to get older. So my contention, you're right, capital improvements are typically one-time costs.
I'm saying, like, when you sell them, you get a certain amount of money from selling them. But you're correct, there is money that has to go into maintaining them. But I'm just saying that that's not a long-term way of doing this.
Well,
so keep going.
So I'm not counting the one-time money we would get in a potential sale as part of my plan at all.
Sure.
So I'm counting the savings we would get in the capital cost, the savings we would get not incurring the operating losses as part of the ongoing savings that we could apply. All right, step two. A couple of years ago, St. Charles County actually passed a half-cent use tax on internet purchases. Mm-hmm. And they approved this because the people of the county were told that that money would be put into our parks and recreation system. Mm-hmm. What we didn't know at the time, this was 2023, the budget was about $20 million in our parks and recreation budget. What we didn't know how much money was actually going to come in for parks and recs. As it turns out, we've already this year we're on pace for about $40 to $45 million in that half cent use tax, and our budget in parks now is over $60 million, so it's tripled. Now a lot of folks say, well, we like parks and recreation, but what's crazy to me is the county also tracks the foot traffic in our park system, and from 2022 to 2024, in spite of a tripling of the budget in the St. Charles County park system, the traffic has gone down. So we're paying three times the amount of money for a park system that's getting less use from the people of our county than it was a couple of years ago.
I'm going to stop you right there, because I actually asked this to Steve Ellman, mm-hmm. and I'm going to push back against you, this a little bit.
Okay.
One of the reasons why I moved to St. Louis County, the main reason was because Special School District was there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they have an extensive park system. It's close to St. Louis City, so there's a lot of amenities there. And there's also a lot of great municipal parks. And when you have young children, parks are not optional because the kids want to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
If St. Charles County is just a bunch of roads and houses and doesn't have actual things for families to do, Isn't that going to be a reason why people stagnate?
Whoa, whoa, Jason.
Yeah.
Come on. You know better than that. No one is proposing that we're going to close even a single park.
Okay.
What I'm proposing is that we go back to 2023 levels when we actually had – that was the level of funding where we had the greatest engagement from the people that live in our county.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that –
what I'm trying to say, though, is as more people move there, they're going to want more things to do, and they may need more money for parks. That's what I'm trying to say.
So suffice to say – that the idea that we would triple any of our director's budget was ridiculous. And actually, we have such a problem spending that much money in our parks department that Steve Ellman has responded by just putting more functions of county government into the park system, whether they're actual park or not. So,
like what?
Like the airport. So our airport is now under our park system, even though I don't think most people actually consider that a park. So my contention is that we have the opportunity to provide a world-class park system like we've enjoyed for 20 years, but we can do so under 2023 funding and take $40 million, which is a third of our personal property tax burden. So if you take $40 million from surpluses, as I see it, in the park system, if you take $25 to $30 million is out of the money pits that Steve Ellman has got us into. And then for the remaining $500 million budget, we do a 10% cut to a $500 million budget. Boom, that's $120 million. Now, it's possible. Let's say I could only find, instead of finding $120 million, let's say I only find $60 million. Mm-hmm. Let's say I only find $80 million. Fantastic. Then we're going to deliver a 50% cut to personal property tax or a 75% cut to personal property tax. The difference between myself and my two opponents is my two opponents are simply saying, we're not even going to look for any of these savings. It can't be done. It shouldn't be done. And Bill Igel is a bad person for even considering that this ought to be done. That is why Steve Ellman, I believe, is going to find that our message is going to be very successful on election day, because we're talking about specific ideas, giving specific examples of how we're going to make St. Charles County better.
I want to move on to data centers. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard you say that you are not a fan of them. You wouldn't, for example, if somebody came to the county council and said, let's put a giant data center in marshlands of unincorporated St. Charles County, which I don't even think they could do without it sinking into the ground, you would be a no on that, basically.
I'd be a no on that. And actually, this is a topic, as you know, there's a lot of passion on this issue right now. And the reason there's a lot of passion on this issue right now is because the current conversation about data centers is one in which it seems like they only are built in scenarios where the taxpayer gets fleeced and there is a huge burden placed on the ratepayers that may have to pay for the increased water and electrical output. And I'll give you the example of St. Charles City. St. Charles City was going to put in a data center. You remember this from a year and a half ago. Come to find out that one data center was going to double the water consumption of the entire city of St. Charles. It was going to double the electrical consumption of the entire city of St. Charles. And St. Charles was also considering some tax abatements to give to this data center that was effectively put those taxpayers on the hook for subsidizing this operation for many years in the future. Look what happened over in Montgomery County. I know Governor Kehoe is a big fan of these data centers. And I got to tell you, by the way, if his team is worried about primaries, he needs to stop signing these taxpayer fleecing deals like we saw over in Montgomery County. That one data center alone has the potential to increase the entire county's water and electrical load by a factor of 5 or 6. Only 15,000 people live there. And by the way, they're going to give that tax, they're going to give, was it Google or Amazon? They're going to give them $900 million in tax credits to help them build that as well. That is just crazy. So the entire current conversation about data centers seems basically premised on the idea that the only way they can happen is if we fleece the taxpayer. So under those scenarios, absolutely I'm a no. I have never had a problem telling people no. And I think that we need to tell the folks that want to build these data centers a lot of no's in the short term until the conversation changes to something other than putting the ratepayers and the taxpayers at risk and at a huge disadvantage for providing a subsidy for billion-dollar corporations.
So if they're built in municipalities, would you take a similar tack that if a municipality decides to build a data center, you're going to withhold transportation funds or other county funds from them?
I'd actually like to do, I heard an idea, I think it was Warren County, don't quote me on that because I'm not positive. It was an idea of actually creating a special zoning designation for data centers in particular that has to get approval from the county to actually apply. And we would want to put that in the county charter so that the county would have the opportunity to stay involved there.
What do you make of the argument that these data centers are going to be built somewhere? They might as well be built in County X or County Y. You know who's, by the way, you know who's making that argument? Your good friend Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is like the biggest data center fan, and he's been completely captured by big tech companies. To be fair, there are also a lot of Democratic unions that like them because they do give a lot of jobs. So it has bipartisan support as well as bipartisan opposition. So what do you say to that?
I'm here to defend the taxpayer and the ratepayers. And until, as long as the conversation is associated with a fleecing of the taxpayer and the placing of a burden onto ratepayers, I'm going to continue to be no. And by the way, when we talk about these big data centers, there's some environmental concerns. You know, nobody is going to mistake me for someone who leads on necessarily environmental issues. But you know, the one in St. Charles City was going to also have to house tens of thousands of gallons of diesel fuel on site. So there are some legitimate environmental concerns that we have to consider when we're talking about putting in these facilities. And I'm also a guy that believes that somebody should be able to build what they want on their own property. However, in the case of a data center, the impact of building a data center, even on property you own, is so great to the people that live right next door to you that you can't simply build these in a vacuum. There is a role for government to protect all the taxpayers and all the ratepayers in their area.
You mentioned after St. Charles County voters rejected a property tax freeze, that mm-hmm. there should be a do-over election. Now, before I ask you this question, I know a lot of people were like, you know, Bill Eagles being a sore loser, you know, stuff like that. I should point this out, that St. Louis County voters are going to vote on a use tax again, and we did reject that a couple of years ago. So it is not completely out of the question of doing this. And I will also just agree with you. April elections are low turnout affairs. If this was put on, I don't know, November or August, we might get a different result. But what do you say to the people who think that you're just being a sore loser and you were just out campaigned and outflanked by a well-funded opposition to this?
Well, so in St. Charles County in particular, there were actually three tax questions on the ballot in that April election. One was Prop RT, and two were massive tax increases from the fire department and another massive tax increase from the EMS folks. They were actually trying to move their property taxes to a sales tax, but in so doing, they were actually going to double the amount of revenue that was coming into their bank accounts as a result. So it was a massive tax increase. So you had two tax increases and you had a tax cap. And you had all of these competing messages about what each of these different plans were doing. But I think folks there were so many messages and there was a lot of confusion about which did what that people went in there and voted no on all three. The tax increases for our fire, the tax increases for EMS lost by almost exactly the same percentage that Prop RT did.
Yeah.
So my sense of what happened in that election, in that low turnout election where there was a lot of confusion about what was being put on the ballot, is people just went in there and they saw the word tax, they said no. So if I'm wrong, then why would anybody object for this to go on the ballot again? Because it's just going to lose again,
well,
right, according to that law.
Why did it pass in Jefferson County then?
I don't think Jefferson County had the same – they didn't have competing tax measures on there that was causing the confusion that was caused in St. Charles County. And, in fact, it passed in a vast majority of counties across the state.
Would you need the legislature to authorize another vote on
that? No. In fact, I've already spoken to members of the legislature. Steve Ellman could put this on the ballot right now and has the authority to do so because there was not an end date on when it could be put on or how many times it could be put on. So we could do that. There's a really good chance that we may see something like that if I'm successful in the election in November. In August.
What do you make of the argument that the failure of that tax, as well as the defeat of a number of self-identified conservative school board candidates, is a showcase that St. Charles County is becoming more Democratic?
I disagree with that because all of those losses happen during April elections that get incredibly low turnout. In fact, we're going to find out if that's the case because we, as you know, Jason, we just passed a law this year where school board elections are going to move to November and partisan affiliation will be allowed on the ballot. So we're going to find out whether just how impactful these April elections can be in electing a minority to power. My prediction is that we're going to see conservative slates of candidates win almost unanimously once these elections go to the November ballot. And then when other counties begin to see that is the pattern, I think you're going to see other counties start to follow our lead.
So I would not be a Bill Igel, politically speaking, without asking you a congressional redistricting question. Because St. Charles County is now in one congressional district.
It is.
And that was not only your dream and not only Bob Onder's dream, but frankly, I'm sure Steve Ellman, Tom Dempsey, Chuck Gross, Phil Christofanelli, Nick Schroer, they all wanted St. Charles County in one district.
Yep.
So you're all really happy about that, correct?
I am.
Okay. You probably know where this question is going. There is now a lot of talk that in 2027, the legislature is going to essentially deconstruct the first district and make it winnable for Republicans, which they could now do because of the Supreme Court case. I do not see any way you can do that without splitting St. Charles County into multiple parts again. So I understand that you're not in the legislature anymore. I'm sure you're very happy about that. But if you're St. Charles County executive, this is not an insignificant decision because, you know, you care what the federal delegation do because they bring in a lot of money.
Yep.
Would you be less excited about trying to convert Mo 1 into a Republican-leaning seat if it meant that St. Charles County is split into two or three districts again?
So,
and I understand there's a lot of what ifs. We don't know what the map looks like, but I really don't think you can do that without splitting up St. Charles County again.
So let me say one thing up front, and that is just on the idea of there being another new map being drawn. I'm going to make a prediction here on your podcast, Jason, that there will be a new drawing of the map. And I don't know for sure that it's going to come from the impetus of the legislature doing it. I think there's a really good chance it's going to come because a lawsuit will be filed against the 7-1 map, which is going to be challenged because it has a district that it was drawn for along racial lines, and that the court system may actually require the legislature to ultimately draw another map that isn't drawn along racial lines, which would be the impetus. And that's actually so that's a prediction that the lawsuit would come from Republican groups and actually try to drive that.
And we could go down a rabbit hole.
But I won't go down the rabbit hole.
I just want to say, just to interject, I don't think the first district is racially gerrymandered district because I think it was a political gerrymander to help the second and third districts stay Republican. But I don't want to get into that now because we're running out of time.
Without going down that rabbit hole, let me get back to your question.
Sure.
But now my prediction is on the record. It's on the record. But so for me, when I was representing St. Charles County in the Missouri Senate, getting St. Charles County into its own district was my number one priority. And regardless of what happens in the future, I want to see St. Charles County continue to be all in a single congressional district. To your point, is there a path to make an 8-0 map that keeps St. Charles County all in the district? I acknowledge that that may be difficult. That may be difficult to do. Certainly, I would want to, and I haven't done this. I'm not at home drawing maps right now. I would want to explore those possibilities, and I would advocate for those possibilities if and when those happened. But I'm committed to seeing St. Charles County in its own congressional district. I think that's the best for the county.
Thank you very much, as always, for your time. For all of our stories, stlpr.org. Politically Speaking is a product of St. Louis Public Radio, which is part of the University of Missouri system. And how can people find out more about your campaign on the World Wide Web or social media?
BillEigel.com. It's been the same for many years now, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. If you want to learn more about the personal property tax, visit us online or come visit us on Facebook and Twitter.
Thank you very much, and until next time, so long. Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich.
Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.